Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Property buying often feels like this huge emotional and financial roller coaster. It's all gut feeling and market frenzy. But today, we're pulling back the curtain on the actual playbook,
We are.
the structured step-by-step framework that a professional buyer's agent uses.
That's right. So if you're, preparing to hire someone, or maybe you're just really curious about what professional rigor actually looks like in this field, well, this deep dive is your shortcut. We're going straight to the source material that defines the standard, the skills, the knowledge, all of it.
Right. And our mission today is to take what is, it's essentially a professional competency standard. Think of it like the industry's official test. And we're going to translate that into a clear roadmap. We're going to unpack the three critical phases: preparing the buyer brief, sourcing the properties, and then finally delivering that comprehensive critical report.
And I think the key takeaway here for you, for the listener, is that a successful buyer's agent's work isn't just random. It's a highly structured, accountable process. And it's all designed to make sure the client's goals are met, legally and efficiently.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Before a single listing is even pulled up, before any tire kicking happens, the agent has several non-negotiable steps. It's all about setting that foundation, preparing the official buyer brief.
And this is where that professional structure, it gives the first major value add for the buyer. The agent has to make the process practical immediately. I mean,
Yeah.
yes, establishing the buyer's needs and preferences is essential.
The big three, right? Type of property, location, price range.
Exactly, the trio.
No.
But it has to be grounded in reality from the get-go.
So you're saying don't start with the dream home in the ideal neighborhood.
Exactly. The source material is very clear on this. The first major practical step is figuring out the buyer's capacity to buy and their access to finance.
So money first.
Money first. This isn't just a box-ticking exercise. This grounds the entire search in what's actually possible. If you don't establish the finance capacity, the agent could waste weeks, maybe months, on properties the buyer just can't secure. It's professional malpractice almost.
That makes perfect sense. It protects against disappointment. So, capacity is confirmed. The agent has the client's needs, type, location, price. What's next? There's a big step for clarity and legal protection, right?
A huge one. Formally explaining to the buyer the role and responsibilities of the buyer's agent.
Right.
This is fundamental. Agency Law 101. The agent is acting for the buyer. The client needs to understand that fiduciary duty, the scope of the work, and also what the agent is not responsible for.
Manages
It
expectations.
manages everything, and it clarifies that difference between a buying agent and a selling agent, which, gets really blurry for the public.
So, after the capacity check and the roles are clarified, the agent then formalizes the brief itself. And then there's the final, vital piece, the legal
The
part,
agreement.
preparing and completing the agreement with the buyer. And it has to follow all the legislative rules.
That legal step is the bedrock. Everything else is built on top of it. The agreement has to cover scope, duration, fees, how to terminate it, all of it. And it all has to adhere to, state or territorial law. Without that properly completed agreement, the agent just can't move forward. For you, the buyer, that formal brief and the agreement, that's your strongest protection. It ensures the search is defined by your objectives, not the agent's.
So the blueprint is drawn up, it's signed, capacity is confirmed, needs are defined, the legal agreement is in place, the agent shifts from, I guess, documentation to detection,
I like that.
and the real strategic hunting starts. Segment two, sourcing.
Yeah, and that foundation is so key because when you move into sourcing, it is not a general browse of the market. It's a highly focused operation, and it's dictated strictly by that initial brief.
It's like a compass.
It is. It prevents the agent from getting lost in all the noise of the market.
Precisely. So the agent has to research and list properties that strictly meet those criteria. And this research, it goes beyond just the public websites, right?
Oh, absolutely. It has to. Professional databases, talking to selling agents about pre-market stuff.
Off-market opportunities.
Yeah, things that aren't advertised yet. If a property doesn't tick the boxes on price, location, or the essentials, it just doesn't make that first list. Period. And what's fascinating here is the next filtering step. This is where you really see the agent's professional value. They don't just hand over a raw list of everything they found.
Yep.
The agent has to then assess those properties against the brief and prepare a short list of suitable properties.
That assessment is crucial. What are they looking at beyond, the basic stuff? Are they just counting bedrooms and checking suburbs?
No, so much deeper. They're looking at market factors a layman might miss. Comparative sales, sure, but also local government zonings, growth potential risks, and most importantly, how it stacks up against the stated priorities in that brief. This curation turns a raw list into a viable shortlist. It's the difference between a computer search and, well, a professional recommendation.
Okay, so it sounds like the agent needs total control over creating that shortlist. But how much say does the buyer have after that? I mean, is there a risk the agent just pushes properties that are convenient for them?
That's a good question, and the structure actually addresses it.
Yeah.
Once that curated shortlist is created, the process requires the agent to formally obtain instructions from the buyer,
Okay.
instructions on which properties to investigate further. So the agent is the expert filter, but the buyer has to give the final green light for the deep dive inspection phase. It keeps it transparent. The client stays in control.
And there's a crucial insight here about the professional standard itself, isn't there? The source material connects this step directly to the performance evidence required.
Yes. For an agent to prove they're competent, they have to complete this strategic sourcing and shortlisting step, which means preparing a shortlist of at least two suitable properties
Okay.
on two separate occasions.
Two separate occasions. Wow.
It's not about showing they can do it once, it proves they can repeat the process successfully and consistently. That's a very high bar for
That
professionalism.
really is the definition of demonstrable expertise. Okay, so once the buyer gives the go-ahead on that shortlist, the truly detailed work begins. We're moving into segment three, inspection and reporting. This is where the detective work happens.
Absolutely. And the goal here is to create a comprehensive, objective property report. The agent has some flexibility at this stage. They can inspect properties with or without the buyer, depending on availability.
But the work that happens right after the inspection, that's standardized.
Precisely. Immediately after that inspection, and that should be a physical assessment, the structure, the neighborhood, any visible issues, they have to assess and rank each property. And they rank it against that initial buyer brief.
That ranking is so important. It gives an objective weight to their final recommendation. They're not just saying, "Oh, I like the kitchen."
Right.
They're saying, "This property scores a 9 out of 10 against the criteria you defined for location, amenities, and risk." It's a constant objective loop back to that first document.
And that objective assessment is what justifies the professional fee, and it continues with the documentation. Before any final recommendation, the agent is required to request further information and contract documentation for the selected properties.
This is a preventative step, isn't it? To avoid surprises.
It's entirely preventative. You request the contract documents, disclosure statements, strata reports, all of it, before you make the final recommendation. That way, the buyer doesn't fall in love with the place only to find out the contract conditions are impossible.
Or the strata fees are astronomical.
Exactly, or some huge issue is buried in the fine print. No professional agent should ever recommend a property without having the paperwork in hand.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the final output, that report, is the single most important deliverable for you, the buyer. It's the culmination of everything.
Yes, that report synthesizes all the previous work. The agent has to prepare a report that details three specific things about the recommended properties: the suitability, the type, and the conditions of sale.
Can we break down what suitability really means here?
Sure. Suitability is that objective measurement against the brief. How well does it meet the needs, the price, the location you defined? Type refers to the nature of the sale, auction, private treaty, whatever it is. And crucially, conditions of sale details everything: settlement periods, finance clauses, any special conditions from the vendor. It basically packages the opportunity and the risk so the buyer has an informed platform to make an offer from.
Wow, that whole process confirms that this is so much more than just logistics. It is underpinned by a mountain of specialized, regulated knowledge, which I guess brings us into segment four, the professional imperatives. That sheer volume of required legal understanding that has to be the biggest barrier to entry for this job.
It absolutely is. I mean, the knowledge requirements are incredibly dense. They form the ethical and legal scaffolding for the entire role.
We're talking about knowledge of Commonwealth and state or territory legislation, plus all the relevant local government regulations on top of that.
A three-tiered legal system.
That's a three-tiered understanding of the law the agent has to navigate every single day.
And to illustrate the impact, just think. State law dictates your purchase agreement and cooling off periods, but local government regulations determine what you can or can't even build on that land. Zoning restrictions. The agent has to be fluent across all three levels to give accurate advice about a property's real potential and its liabilities.
And this is where we get that crucial aha moment for the buyer, the thing that really protects them. The agent must specifically understand disclosure requirements.
This is so critical. Specifically, this means understanding the obligation to disclose material facts. Now, that's jargon, and we need to define it because it's the agent's core legal liability.
Okay, so what exactly is a material fact?
A material fact is anything that, if the buyer knew about it, could negatively influence their decision to buy or affect the price they're willing to pay.
Okay, so give me an example.
Well, say the agent discovers a property is on a known floodplain, or it has hidden structural defects, or maybe there are unresolved boundary disputes with the neighbors. Those are all material facts, and they must be disclosed to the client. This requirement ensures transparency. It protects the buyer from these huge, costly risks.
That transparency is what really separates a professional from just a casual guide. And beyond the pure legality, the agent also needs knowledge of the ethical standards.
The ethics, yes. And the regulatory requirements for recommending properties. The ethics govern the action. I mean, you can't just recommend a property because it offers a higher commission.
Right.
The recommendation has to be based purely on the suitability that you've demonstrated in that report. It reinforces the agent's duty to the client.
And finally, the agent has to be fluent in the client's expectations. What information they need to deliver to close the loop?
Right, that covers a whole set of procedural details. The agent has to know how to provide that comprehensive information, including all those material facts we just talked about, but they also have to be a master of the transaction itself, providing clarity on the method of sale and payments.
Like an auction strategy versus a private offer?
Exactly, completely different skill sets.
And that includes providing clarity on the time frame for sales, how long an offer is open, when settlement is, and explaining all the contract conditions.
Exactly. The agent is guiding the buyer through the entire procedural framework of the deal. And, linking back to the very start, they also need detailed knowledge of the different types of listing agreements.
Wait, hang on. If they represent the buyer, why do they need to know the fine print of the seller's agreement?
Ah, because that agreement dictates the seller's obligations, the commission structure, any restrictions on the selling agent. Understanding that document lets the buyer's agent spot potential conflicts of interest, ensure fair practice, and basically anticipate the other side's strategy.
That they're protecting their client by understanding the entire legal landscape.
The entire landscape of the sale, yes.
So what does this all mean then? We've seen that representing a buyer is not a casual favor. It's a rigorous, legally defined, multi-stage process. It's so much more than just searching for a house.
So much
It
more.
requires logistical skill, dense legislative knowledge, and real professional rigor and documentation.
And we've confirmed the value of that structure for you, the learner. The process is a closed-loop system. It's designed for maximum accountability, moving logically from capacity to briefing to shortlisting.
All the way to that final report.
All the way to that final comprehensive documented report on suitability and conditions. It's a mechanism built to protect the buyer from market chaos and unforeseen legal trouble.
It really makes you realize why professional agents charge what they do. They're taking on immense liability and following a strict checklist to protect their client at every single turn.
It's a high-stakes, high-knowledge role. It truly is. And as we mentioned in segment four, the knowledge required includes knowing when and what to disclose, especially when it comes to material facts. That area is, often the subject of intense litigation. So for your own future research, for a deeper understanding of this liability, consider this provocative thought. How do varying state or territory laws specifically define the boundary of a material fact for an agent? Is an agent required to disclose a recent murder in the neighborhood or only a leaking roof? That boundary is precisely where the legal rubber meets the road.
Food for thought, indeed. That's all the professional knowledge we could extract from the sources today. We will catch you next time for the next deep dive.